نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in the Quran Hakim, in the noble Quran, not just in one place but in numerous places, stated that your biggest enemy is Shaitan, the devil. Aduwwun mubeen he is. Shaitan is aduwwun mubeen. And why did Allah say this? Allah Ta'ala's grace upon us, Allah's blessings upon us, His mercy upon us, so that we can recognize our enemy. Because some enemies are such that you cannot recognize who they are. And they give a lot of loss to you and give you hurt. So this enemy of ours, Allah Ta'ala has told us in advance that your enemy is Shaitan. So that we can realize who is our enemy, and so that we can take steps to save ourselves from Shaitan and try and make effort and also understand who our enemy is. Obviously, if somebody realizes and understands who is his enemy, then to save oneself from the enemy, a person makes full effort so that I don't fall under the trap or influence of my enemy, Shaitan. So Shaitan is more dangerous many times over than the enemies of the world, because he is not an enemy of ours with regards to this dunya, because he helps us and assists us in this dunya to flourish in this dunya and succeed. He helps us a lot. But his enmity with us is very dangerous indeed, because he is really our enemy in terms of the hereafter, Shaitan. And he loots and steals our hereafter, and he destroys our hereafter. And this is his biggest objective and function. And he, Shaitan, said to Allah Ta'ala that I will attack them from all directions, from in front, behind, from in top, from the right, from the left. Allah Ta'ala said, fine, you do that, Shaitan. You do that. To this extent, Allah Ta'ala gave strength to Shaitan, that the human being in his body, he flows like the blood in the veins. So imagine how big an enemy he'll be, Shaitan. Big enemy, biggest enemy, and he's being given open playing field. So Allah Ta'ala just left him wild and go. It's all in your hands, Shaitan. Obviously, then we can say to Allah Ta'ala that if you made him our enemy and gave him so much that he could do, but how would Allah just leave him free? That Allah Ta'ala said, fine, Shaitan, you go. And to the people of Iman, Allah Ta'ala also prepared a solution, a defense. Because the people of Iman, faith, are very beloved to Allah. How would Allah leave them out? So Allah Ta'ala said, fine, you try as hard as you want, Shaitan, deviate them, do what you want, how you want to try, but I will also give them one thing, the people of Iman, that you will not be able to spoil any of their issues and affairs. And that gift and ni'man Allah Ta'ala has given to us is dhikrullah, the remembrance of Allah. You will have read in the hadith, in Fazaili hadith, this hadith has a Shaykh Sahib rahmatullah stated that the situation is such that, just imagine there's an enemy running after a person, and that person's running away from his enemy, running, and he sees a castle, a fort. Yes, a safe place. And he suddenly runs into that fort, that castle, then he's protected from the enemy. Same way, 100%, it's like this. That the human being, when Shaitan is attacking the human being and the human being wants to be saved, then Allah has given the castle, the fort, to the person who iman, and that is dhikrullah. Soon as the person does dhikrullah, he enters into the safe enclave. And he's saved from Shaitan. And not just this, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave us a complete sketch with regards to this amal so that we can understand. So we can understand the game of Shaitan, his trickery. Recognize him. In the hadith is stated, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the meaning of the hadith is such that Allah Ta'ala gave us full understanding. Because if we understand, then we can do something in it. But our brains, they don't absorb these points. We hear, we read, but it doesn't absorb into our brain. And that's the biggest attack of Shaitan, that he doesn't let us understand. He doesn't want us to be saved. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that in the heart of a human being, there are two quarters, two parts. You can say rooms, two portions, two quarters. Now what you have to see here is that you can't learn this fact from a scan, like from an x-ray or any scientific diagnosis. You can try even the biggest, we are in the scientific age now. But nobody can see this. We can scan the heart, we say there's a heart attack, but this thing, only he could tell us who knows the reality and the truth. He has told us this information. So the people of Iman, our Iman, we have the gift of Iman to this extent. If our yaqeen is strong, certainty strong, is stated that don't think a heart is just a beating organ, it's a whole world within it. There are two quarters within the heart. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So there are two parts, two quarters in the heart. In one quarter, the angels reside. And in the other quarter, shaitan resides. So imagine how clear the Holy Prophet ﷺ has drawn the sketch for us, to make it easy for us to understand. So in one part are the angels, an angel, and the other part is shaitan. So as long as a person does dhikrullah, stated, then shaitan is far away. Shaitan is far away and he is sealed and he cannot get out. Soon as the person, these are great words, as soon as a person becomes lazy, negligent in doing dhikrullah, then immediately shaitan, he comes out of his quarter and his mouth, he puts it onto the heart of that person. How? Allah knows best. How? Allah knows best. Just like, you know, the mosquito, and he has the bite. And just like that, we are the prey to the mosquito. So shaitan, he pinches the heart of that person. As soon as he bites, Allah Ta'ala has given the tariqah to shaitan. Soon as he bites or he attacks, then a poison, it emanates, dangerous, which is called waswasa shaitan. The most dangerous thing is waswasa shaitan, the whispering of shaitan. The waswasa is what takes a person away. And it finishes his amal, makes him fight and quarrel and make him lie and backbite. And it's such an injection shaitan inserts into the human being that immediately at that time, the human being, he changes, his character transforms, changes for the worst. Everybody is under threat. He eliminates great ibadah, he eliminates tilawat and salah through this action. And his work starts, shaitan's work starts at that time. Riya comes, showing off and pride and fake practices and showing off. And he thinks I'm pious and I'm doing ibadah, but he's wasting his time. Through pride he's wasting his ibadah. Through showing off he's wasting his ibadah. And he considers that he's pious and I am holy, but there are many deficiencies and diseases within him that spoil his ibadah, that they are not accepted in front of Allah, his ibadah. And this is due to what Rasulullah said, there's just one thing that shaitan, he attacks that human being, that person of faith. But when a person does dhikrullah, as soon as he does the dhikr of Allah, remembers Allah, then shaitan doesn't have the power that he can attack that mu'min, and his heart is protected from the attack of shaitan. So dhikrullah, two types of dhikr. Allah's Nabi said there are two types of dhikr. One is lasani dhikr, from the tongue, and one is qalbi dhikr, internal dhikr. So now we'll understand what is qalbi dhikr. So the dhikr from the tongue, like we recite talawat, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, whatever kalimat and verses, great kalimat. This is called lasani dhikr of the tongue. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a greater dhikr than dhikr of the tongue, like is stated in the hadith, that the dhikr is of internal dhikr of the heart is 70 times greater than dhikr of the tongue. Like, for example, you say subhanallah from your tongue, but if you say from your heart once, 70 times you say from the tongue, but you say once from the heart, it's equivalent. It's equivalent. Yes, so do dhikr in the heart. This is called dhikr qalbi. Dhikr qalbi. So the dhikr of the tongue, okay, fine, we're doing dhikr, alhamdulillah, subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, talawat, recitation, then we stop. Our tongue stop, then we say again, then we stop, then we work busy in our work, then we sleep, then we start talking. So shaitan will come out from his trap. He will come out from his seal. As soon as dhikr ceases, then he has to come again. Doesn't matter what you're doing. For example, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you'll stop doing it. For example, you're reciting Quran, you pray salah, you come back, then shaitan comes again and he'll make your amal go to waste. La tabtulu amwalakum. Allah says that do not waste your deeds. And that's how deeds are wasted. When a person is lazy, negligent, they're destroyed. Why? Because he's not doing dhikrullah at that time. So Allah Ta'ala has prepared a solution for that. That there is the dhikr of the tongue, but dhikr is that dhikr which always is performed with the heart. The heart should be alive. This is called the heart coming alive. The qalb, the heart coming alive. This is called dhikr-e khafi, silent dhikr, qalbi dhikr, dhikr of the heart, internal dhikr. This is the genuine, powerful dhikr. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah said in the Quran, walking whilst you're standing or sitting or lying down or sleeping, always every second a person should be a dhakir, because shaitan is present, always near us, always he is working to annihilate our deeds. So Allah says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. Do dhikr so you can attain success. Which dhikr? Dhikr kathir. What is dhikr kathir? The definition, not from the tongue. Not from the tongue. Dhikr kathir is performed with the heart. What is kathir? The pious predecessors have said, unlimited, no higher limit, without any limit. No, if you used to be the tongue, 1,000 tasbih, 2,000 tasbih, 500 tasbih, you've counted, haven't you? Stop, there's a limit, but the heart doesn't count. As long as your heart, as long as you're alive, your heart will continue to beat. And that is the beauty of that dhikr, is that when you learn dhikr and your heart is alive, and this is called qalb jari, when your heart becomes alive, the pious predecessors, when the teacher through his company, your heart is made alive and you learn dhikrullah, then what happens is that your heart, always you are sleeping, you're doing dhikr. And your hand is busy in the world, but your heart is busy in dhikrullah. Your hands, your body is busy in dunya, but your heart is attentive to Allah, focused on Allah, and it's beating. It's working. الَّذِينَ تَتْمَنَ بِالْقُولُوبِينَ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Always your heart will be content and tranquility and at peace with dhikrullah. So this dhikr, dhikr khafi, internal dhikr, because you have the dhikr of the tongue, you can read a book and read a verse and do it. But this dhikr of the heart, you have to learn from a teacher, a sheikh. Because they are masters. They are the supreme masters, the physicians of the heart. They can explain and control and explain how to perform this dhikr, so you can control your actions and do things correctly. And every sheikh is not able to give this dhikr. Remember this. Not every wali Allah has this tawfiq or ability. A special select karam Allah Ta'ala has given, Naqshbandi order, and a special Naqshbandi teacher is he who can give the talqeen and teach you the dhikr of Allah. Their first sabak lesson is that they work on the heart. They're so strong, those sheikhs, that they start from the heart. That is a great karam and mercy of Allah. So when you go to the sheikh, to the teacher, then the teacher will teach you this dhikr, dhikr khafi, dhikr of the heart. Yeah, dhikr qalbi, dhikr khafi. He'll tell you the tariqah, the method. And when he, in the first instance, teaches you the dhikr of the heart, at that time the heart becomes alive to the dhikr of Allah. This is the great beauty of this dhikr. Because Allah Ta'ala wanted to protect us. Not this, oh, how can we learn dhikr in Bolton, in London, or we'll have to go to India or another part of the world where there's a sheikh or sheikhs in this place. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said that why He created us, for the reason that He created us. I say this many times over. That Allah Ta'ala said that what is necessary for us as human beings, that for example, jaman, we used to eat, what do we say, call this in Gujarati, I don't know. So fruit, I couldn't even think that, and imagine that we could find that fruit here. I couldn't even imagine that jaman could come here as a tree that was in our country. He said, ooh, look, such, it's like, it looks like a jaman, how much enjoyment. He said, this is jaman fruit. Yes, it, I said, is it? How did this arrive in this country? Subhanallah. So when I ate it, subhanallah, my youth I remembered, my young age and that tree, subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent that fruit here. So Allah ta'ala says that whatever you have a need, if He can send fruit here, then will He not give us dhikrullah if we have a need? But we're lazy, we don't try, we don't make effort. Our nafs has stopped us, our desires have stopped us, and shaitan has attacked us, overtaken us. No, no, you can't do this and that. But remember this. Remember this. That pick up the kitab, Fazail Zikr. That everything is completed for a human being when he does dhikrullah. Everyone has a need, a strict need, desperate need for dhikrullah. Doesn't matter what you're doing in the world, doesn't matter how big shot you are in the world, how much ibadah you do, how much ilm you have, doesn't matter. But without dhikr, you cannot succeed. Remember this. our Kabreen, our pious predecessors. Look what they didn't have. They had so much ilm, they had knowledge, they had maqam. But Haji Sahib, they went to Haji Sahib, Haji Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, to learn what? Dhikrullah, their teacher. So my brothers, until we don't take hold of the company of Wali Allah, we cannot come out of the trap of takabbur pride. We can't come out of pretense. Only those people can do this. Remember this one point. Only those people can have concern for dhikrullah who have belief in their death. That when our belief and certainty and death is removed, and when we stop thinking about the qabr and the grave, and we don't remember the time of death that will come to us, and when we don't pay attention and focus whilst we're living this world regards to death, while we're living this, then imagine what will be our situation at the time of death. What will be our situation when the angels will be extracting our ruh? Every day we take people to the graveyards, we pray funeral prayers, our beloved colleagues and family and relative, we take them to the graveyard. But look at the hadith, they tell us about this so clearly, that no deed can save us from the punishment of the grave more than the dhikr of Allah can save us. What a great guarantee for the severity of the grave. That is the most dangerous place, the azab, the punishment of the grave. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that dhikr of Allah is the greatest, the most powerful deed that can save us from the punishment of the grave. So brothers, it's so easy. All you have to do is go to a wali Allah. Don't have to pay him no money. You don't have to give him taqa. You don't have to give him any currency. You don't have to beg him. You just have to say that, Sheikh Sahib, that you teach this dhikr. Can you also teach me dhikr just like others do it? I can do it. That's the enjoyment, that when he prescribes dhikr to you, then some people, they learn dhikr with happiness, but they don't do the dhikr. Imagine that, for example, somebody gives you a big Mercedes, nice car, luxurious, and you don't drive it. People say, you're mad. He doesn't use the car. He's got a nice car. Yeah? So, okay, fine. You've come to this gathering. There are virtues. You say there are great hadith, etc. This gathering, you won't leave empty-handed, will you? The hadith that when you leave this gathering, you will all be forgiven. The announcement will be made, such a gathering of dhikrullah. Whoever attends this gathering of dhikr and sits down, la yashka jalusan. The person who sits in this gathering will never lose out. He'll never lose out. Doesn't matter who he is. Doesn't matter if he's the most sinful of persons. If he enters into this majlis, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't see who's come. What is he? This gathering is so great. Allah says, I won't leave you empty handed. You will not lose out. First reward is, Allah says, I'll forgive those people who attend this majlis. Great reward. But even this is not enough for us. How will we succeed? Is that when we work hard ourselves on the dhikr that we've been given. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu dhkuru Allaha dhikran katheeran wasabbihu bukratan wa asila. This whole program schedule Allah has given us is do dhikr. Kathir dhikr means what? Qalbi dhikr. Dhikr of the heart. And how should you do it? Morning and evening do it. Allah Ta'ala has given us a complete program, that this is the way of this ibadah. Just like salah, pray fajr at this time, pray asr at this time, pray dhuhr at this time. So in the whole Quran, Allah has explained, not in one place, in various places, that whenever you do dhikr, morning and evening, do kathir. That's the reason why until today, and even today, alhamdulillah, with the fadl and the blessings of our pious predecessors, even today this dhikr is existent. The morning and evening, we do maraqabah in Bolton itself. And in the biggest masjid, we do dhikr. Qalbi, and there's nobody who knows me. Yes, I don't know anybody. So who prepared this? That gave us the masjid, the greatest masjid, the biggest masjid we've been given. And how glorious is that dhikrullah, that when we sit down in the morning, and I'm surprised that Allah Ta'ala, how much you love your dhikr. That as soon as it's fajr, and big masjid, everyone's praying salah, and I'm looking, mashallah, that mashallah, been quite some years, and people pray salah, fajr salah after that. And the whole masjid, there's a silence and a peace, and suddenly our whole jamaat sits down and we are immersed in dhikr, and silent the masjid becomes. Someone's praying, reading Quran in this corner. Nobody at that time. The whole masjid, the dhikr of Allah is taking place. Subhanallah. I say, Allah, how you prepared this? The central location. And the whole dunya, mashallah, that dhikr is spread throughout the whole dunya. But how much loss. There's so many fazail and virtues. Allah will ask us tomorrow, that did you read the Quran? Yes, I read the Quran. Did you, this verse not come past you? Alladhina yadhkuruna Allaha qiyaman wa qu'udan wa 'ala junubihim. How much did you do my dhikr? Allah said, ya Allah, did this and that. Allah said that only that thing will be accepted with, that will be in parallel with dhikr. Remember this. Only those deeds will be accepted that attach to the dhikr. Have you not seen the hadith? Whatever there is in the dunya, in the world, the whole world is losing out. And everything in the world is wretched apart from dhikrullah. Everything is wretched. Everything in this dunya, the material things, they are all far from the rahmah of Allah, far from the mercy of Allah. Except if you are doing actions, if you want to attain Allah's mercy in this world, then what should you do? Then do actions in parallel with dhikrullah. Then you'll get success in the world, then your world will not go to waste. This dunya will also become ibadah for you. Your going to your shop will become ibadah for you, and sitting with your wife will become ibadah for you, and joking with your children will become ibadah for you, and sitting down and talking will become ibadah for you, because you're doing dhikr at the same time. Dhikrullah. So it's stated that if you want to make this dunya precious, Allah says it's a waste. Everything is a waste. Finished. But all of these things can be beneficial for your house, your cars, everything can be beneficial. When you do dhikrullah in parallel with whatever you're doing in the world. So brothers, these small words that I am sharing with you, listen, do amal on these. Whoever has not learned dhikr, qalbi dhikr, shaitan and nafs, take yourself out from the trap of shaitan and pride, and just consider yourself humble. And I don't have this learning, Hazrat, please teach me and explain to me how to do this dhikr. Alhamdulillah. And dhikr will become onto your heart alive, just like your sheikh will tell you, and he will teach you dhikr, and start doing that dhikr. And there will no restriction will come in your life in anything. Dhikr doesn't mean if you start doing dhikr, leave this work, leave the occupation, leave that career, nothing at all. Rather, dhikr will elevate your deeds and your circumstances. Whatever you're doing, for example, there are different parts of the deen. Somebody's teaching hadith, someone's doing tafsir Quran, someone's a teacher in Darul Uloom, Islamic Institute. Should they not be doing dhikr? No. Everyone needs to do dhikr. And through dhikrullah, via dhikrullah, nuraniyat and light and blessings will come into their occupations. Dhikr doesn't restrict anybody. Dhikr, it aids us, it multiplies the blessings and increases the blessings and assists you in what you're doing in the dunya. But remember, la tabtulu amwalakum. Here, there's a commentary of this ayah, explanation of this, that also a person can waste his amal. There's a point that's written in the Mufassirin, the commentators have stated that amal, your deeds can also be wasted. How? That when you keep doing and you leave an action. So whilst you're doing an action, then you make a U-turn. For example, you're doing something regularly and then you stop doing. For example, you're doing dhikr, you're regularly, many people have seen, they come, then they start slowing down, then they disappear. Brothers, that where's that person, Dakir? He's disappeared, he's taken a U-turn, and slowly, then they leave it. They've learned dhikr, they started doing it, then they disappear. No. To this extent, until death does not arrive, the hadith says, even when your life has been extracted, your life should be extracted from you, your ruh, in that state that you're doing dhikrullah at the time of death. Don't leave it, don't waste this deed that Allah Ta'ala has given to you. The reward Allah Ta'ala has given to you for the sake of Allah is no benefit for me. There's no benefit for any sheikh, no peer has any benefit. Benefit is ours if you've learnt it, then sit in his majlis. Morning and evening do dhikr of Allah in the same way. And don't be lazy, don't be negligent, don't be ignorant. The more you become a grateful servant of Allah and you value it, Allah Ta'ala, then more will elevate you, more He will elevate you. Yes, we look for Allah's nearness, His marifat, His love. This is the tariqah of attaining Allah's marifat. What other stairs should we go up? Or what other lift should we go in? This is the name of Allah's irfan, Allah's nearness. That Allah Ta'ala says, you learn dhikr. After learning dhikr, then stick to that. Adhere to that. And make it a habit daily that I'm going to do this action. Don't look at quantity. Sometimes a person says, I've got an hour, he sits down for an hour, sometimes 30 minutes, half an hour. Even 5 minutes you've got, then keep steadfast and do dhikr. Don't leave it that day, at least do it 5 minutes that day. And do maraqaba. Silent dhikr, there's so much to praise this and explain it. I will tell you the fawaid of maraqaba sometime. And we need a few gatherings to go into the details of the benefits of maraqaba, of silent dhikr, of khafi dhikr, of dhikr of the heart. There are so many virtues that we need a few sessions to discuss them. So when you learn this dhikr, then adopt steadfastness. Steadfastness means regularity, consistency. Not you come, then you run away. Then you come, then you disappear. Allah Ta'ala doesn't like that. Person disappears. Allah, rather, the person starts to get punished. He becomes ungrateful. He shuns the name of Allah. Allah says, give me a great gift. Then sit down morning and evening and work hard. The more work you do in this, Allah will draw you nearer to Him. Draw you nearer. وَجَهَدُوا فِينَ لَنَهَدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبَلَنَا. The more you work, make effort. Allah says, سُبَلَنَا. Allah says, سُبَل. Allah says, I'll open the doors of my nearness to you. سُبُلَنَا. Different paths. Imagine how many paths there are that lead to Allah. Allah says, I'll enlighten all of those paths for you. So Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq. Ameen. Recite the Rushri.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المرسلين اللهم صل على سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله سيدنا محمد بارك وسلم دائما أبدا كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وزلمنا وعزلنا وجدنا وخطبنا وعبدنا وعبد صالحنا. اللهم ربنا اعطنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين. آمين.